saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Be prepared for flooding and keep your basement dry with Barracuda Pumps. Barracuda makes high-quality pumps that offer dependable performance for when you need it most. Save big money on all Barracuda Pumps now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Pros, just because something on the job runs out doesn't mean you have to. Order it on the Lowe's app. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get free same-day delivery on eligible orders over $25. Get the fasteners, hardware, or tools you need to keep the job moving. Order by 2 p.m. and get eligible in-stock items delivered right to your job site by 8 p.m. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at Lowe's.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
There's one more case we're going to talk about here today because there's some big stuff that's about to go down with it. Seven women allegedly killed over a span of roughly 7 years, a case that went cold for over a decade, a suspect who maintained his innocence for nearly 3 years behind bars. And now, reportedly, it's time to say, it's me. Rex Zimmerman is expected to do a guilty plea. It doesn't just close a legal chapter. It may be opening up a whole different kind of wound for families who were bracing for a trial, preparing to sit in that courtroom and hear every detail laid bare. What does it mean when the fight just stops? Bob Mata, criminal defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, is with us. Bob, well, we're expecting to hear Rex Zimmerman plea on the 8th. Tomorrow or today, yeah, Depending on when you're watching this, or yesterday or years ago, whenever you're watching this. 10 years ago, he did this. 2026, the 8th of April is supposedly the date. Why now?
Look, when this happens in a case and this thing has been going for nearly 3 years, you know, it's not a single conversation that takes place. Mm-hmm. It's a process, you know, that builds up over months. And, you know, the reality is that the defense in this particular case had some pretty hefty challenges as to the DNA evidence. You know, I mean, they put up a pretty hellacious fight, you know, to where a lot of people were really nervous about that DNA evidence being excluded. When the judge denies those motions and the DNA evidence is coming in, you know, you're sitting there as the attorney, you're like, okay, well, we're in deep, deep shit. Like, you know, and that's what you're telling your client. You're saying, look, we tried to fight it on this end in terms of Fourth Amendment violations, and we didn't prevail on it. It's coming in. The reality is that, you know, you're going to get convicted on this. You know, I mean, there is very, very, very minute chance that the state's going to screw up to the extent where a jury's going to find you not guilty. You're talking about seven victims. You're talking about, they have the hard drive, which they also tried to keep excluded, which is coming in, which wasn't just it was the do and don't do, you know, it was literally his brain on paper talking about, okay, I did this and I don't want to do that again
how to be the Gilgo Beach killer for dummies, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so T, I mean, like, in terms of Huerman reaching the conclusion that I might as well just plead it out is interesting in the sense that New York does not have the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the part that's kind of fascinating to me. Like, with Huerman, it's a different set of circumstances than it was with Koberger. With Koberger, right, as soon as Bill Thompson, who was the prosecutor in that case, took the death penalty off the table as a carrot to get Koberger to bite, mm-hmm, and Koberger did, that made sense. You know, mm-hmm, Koberger chose his life over going to trial, you know, and I'm sure he was having a lot of conversations with Ann Taylor about the strength of the evidence in that case. And, you know, Ann Taylor, I'm sure, was pragmatic and saying, look, you know, they have some powerful evidence. We've got these theories of, you know, you're a stargazer and you like to drive at night, and whether or not a jury's going to buy that, you know, when coincidentally four kids lost their lives at the same time that you were out driving and stargazing, and, you know, your phone wasn't hooked up and then it was, and then you're driving, you know, I mean, like all those things that were out there, you know, there's a car that's driving by in the neighborhood that looks exactly like your car. I mean, you know, I mean, all those things you're talking to your client about. And so Koberger, I think that was kind of a no-brainer with Huerman, where they didn't have, because, you know, I've had this conversation recently about Huerman, like the state, I'd be stunned if this is a plea, meaning there's, because like a plea agreement between the state and Huerman, because Ray Tierney is not offering that guy anything.
Like, I'm curious about, like what's the carrot?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and I want to make that distinction for people. There's a difference between a change of plea, which the defendant, that is a constitutional right. You have the right to either plead guilty or not guilty. That is in the express purview of the defendant. The lawyer doesn't get to decide that. The judge doesn't get to decide it. It's all Huerman, whether or not he wants to, though, because he obviously originally pled not guilty when he was getting arraigned. And now he's decided to change his mind. I'm going to plead guilty. I'm going to avoid trial. And it's a fascinating thing, because I just don't think, like, I'm trying to understand why at this point. Like usually in these cases, serial killer cases, you roll the dice.
Let me ask you this, and I'm wondering if this is the carrot on the stick for whatever reason. I don't know why. Maybe there's very damning evidence here. We don't know the answer to this. We're expecting, you know, Wednesday that it's going to be a plea or an admitting of guilt here for seven murders. It's going to be eight, allegedly.
Right, that just broke. Yep.
Karen Vergata, Fire Island, 1996. He's going to be charged with that, and he's expected to plead guilty to that. So it'll be eight counts that he's going to be pleading to. It was.
I saw that story.
Yeah, it's brand new. Just came out.
Who's getting that information? Theoretically, only two people on the planet know that.
News 12 Long Island is where I'm reading it from.
I understand that, but like the source is really not relevant to me. Right. What I'm trying to figure out is how does somebody know that? Because Huerman's lawyer knows it, and Huerman knows it, unless somebody's got a line to Huerman. Because
I don't know,
if his lawyer's spilling, that's a big problem.
Does that change anything?
But I'm wondering, I'm assuming they're well aware, Huerman's team, that was going to be charged with this before any of the public knew. And I'm wondering if that played into the decision to plead this, or if this is something that once they realized, oh, he's going to plead to this, let's tack another one on while we're at it. And you know, he's going to plead to these anyhow. Why don't we just add this one to the mix? How did this go on behind the curtain, Bob?
Wait, is the story exactly? Did they charge him with the eight?
Sources, Huerman's expected to say he killed Karen Vergata, at a court hearing Wednesday, sources say he will enter a guilty plea to the murders of seven other women. Vergata's legs were found in a plastic bag in Fire Island after a disappearance in 96. Skull found 15 years later west of Tobey Beach. The terms of the plea agreement are not yet known, but there's been a talk of potential agreement for months. That's all we got. It's a very short. It's a short story.
And poorly written.
Yeah. As all news stories seem to be these days.
You can't plead to a crime you haven't been charged with. Now, like, if he wants to come in there and confess to all kinds of stuff that he hasn't been, like, unindicted crimes, then, you know, they can turn around and indict him on it.
Are they going to charge him at the same time he's pleading? I mean, is that how that work? I mean,
no,
I
don't. Like, he can't work. Yeah. Like, if he comes in and he spills.
Yeah.
Like he talks about, you know, the seven that he's been charged with, and he adds Karen's crime in there, and then he throws like four more in there. Just
are we going to see like a BTK moment? I wonder.
I mean, like that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah,
like because BTK, you know, Dennis Rader came in and just spilled.
Yeah,
you know. So, but like they'll still have to go through the process. If he confesses in open court under oath, it's a pretty easy charge, right? I mean, you're then going to indict him on those as well, and then you have to do it formally, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You have to follow the legal process. It's not, you know, it's like the judge can't sentence him or find him guilty on things he hasn't been charged with. That's not how the law works. So, you know, I mean, but Tierney will run back to his office, they'll get the indictments done, or they'll put, you know, a probable cause affidavit or you know, whatever they use in New York, and then they'll get the things charged formally. And then once he's charged formally, then at that point, obviously he can turn around at the arraignment and just plead guilty to him without going through the whole rigmarole. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would make no sense for Huerman to spill during his statement and allocution and then all of a sudden plead not guilty when they actually charge it to like that. But, you know, I mean, is Huerman like thinking with the right mind? I don't know.
I'm theorizing he's using, you know, kind of in the Dennis Rader mindset of using these other things he's committed as potential currency later on. But is there anything, because these types of people don't do things for the benefit of others. Like, I don't think he's doing this for the benefit of his family. This is serving himself. Any theories on how this is serving himself? Is like, what does he get out of this? What if any carrot does he have, except the fact that he thought he was going to be convicted no matter what anyway? Let's hold what I still have as currency once I'm behind bars. Is there anything beyond that you think he's thinking?
Yeah, I mean, his ego. Sure. You know, if he's leaning into being one of the most notorious serial killers of all time, that's a huge ego thing for him.
Grandiosity,
You know what I mean? And like, as far as I can tell, that's probably the biggest driving motivator for him. Because I mean, there's nothing under the law. It doesn't benefit him any way in the law. So you've got to go and look at it from a personal perspective. And, you know, if he wants to be able to openly talk about things and, you know, write a book, I mean, some of these guys are absolute egomaniacs.
True. You know?
I mean, beyond being just a narcissist, but that like, and it feeds their ego. Like, you see it sometimes with the mentality after the fact of some school shooters, you know, that really it was, their desire was not necessarily to kill, but was the notoriety that came along with it because their minds are warped. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we can't understand it as normal functioning human beings, but their mind doesn't work like ours does. It's different. They operate in a different world than we do mentally and psychologically.
He's getting up there in age. There's only so much time if he wants to, and I'm saying this, you know, from his mindset, if he wants to cash in on what he's done, not necessarily monetarily, but emotionally, mentally, because that attention is what feeds him, of people's disgust with what he's done. He's only got so many years left to do that.
Yeah.
So now is as good a time as ever, I guess, if you're Rex Huerman.
If it's going to go down that way. So
like,
I don't know, Robin or one of you guys, or maybe Todd threw up a creative chaosified comment and they had said it's about getting to keep his secrets. You know, sure, he'll admit to doing it, but the details, that's his little secret. Excuse me. I mean, the story also broke late last week that the judge is going to try to hold his feet to the fire during allocution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning that he's going to have an expectation of Huerman giving details.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a world in which a judge can force that.
Right.
You know, because there's that Fifth Amendment wall. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, this all, it all interplays with one another. You know,
how would that
go
work?
In and admit to Karen, then he's spilling his guts.
But Bob, like, what would happen if they went in? Okay, he says he's going to plead and he's going to have to own up to it. Not just yes, like Koberger got away with, but actually has to explain his shit. Maybe not to the extent the BTK did, but enough. And then he doesn't. Then is the plea not accepted? Is it like you didn't follow through on your end as we're doing?
The way it normally goes, T, is the state gives it on a plea.
Mm-hmm.
The state gives their factual basis.
Okay.
Okay. Where they lay out, if this had gone to trial, this is all the evidence we would have admitted. And then the judge is like, okay, I accept your factual basis. I believe that you've shown enough to, you know, convince me that he's committed these crimes. I'll accept either the plea deal or the plea. So again, I don't know how they do it in New York, but I would be stunned if the state isn't going to be putting forth their factual basis of the crimes.
Yeah.
Like, which again leaves Huerman with the ability to simply go up and do what Koberger did.
Yeah.
And just say, yes, you know, what they said is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Which, again, I mean, I'm seeing varying opinions and frankly, none of them matter. in terms of what the victims want.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about the victims' families. Yeah. You know, it's a major logical leap to just assume that they want to hear all the horrific details. I don't know that that's true. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, like, but I've seen people saying it, you know, and like that story that comes out about the judge forcing Huerman or trying to force him, that Fifth Amendment wall, man.
Yeah.
Like the judge is creating a potential like immediate nightmare on a like an absolute basis of constitutional violation if he tries to force Huerman to spill his guts. And if he does, he then exposes himself to additional uncharged crimes. It's a problem. So I just don't think the judge is going to do that. I've seen like my friend Mark Bettero, who's a New York attorney. He's like, oh, yeah, the judge is going to really hold his feet to the fire. I'm like, and I asked him on Twitter. I'm like, how? How is he going to do that? Like, I'm not getting sucked into the hype of this. Like, there's human lives that were lost. Yeah. This isn't a game. Yeah. You know, it's like I get that the public wants to know all the details. Well, tough shit.
But I mean, and is that an appropriate place to be doing it? Because yes, some may look and go, see, he's being exposed and he's telling his shit. And to us human beings who don't do this sort of thing, we would be horrified and ashamed and feeling it would be the worst moment of our lives to have to admit these things out in the open. For someone like Huerman or a BTK, that's this spotlight grand moment that he's reliving over and over. It might be even better than the murder themselves, the attention that they're getting. So we got to look at it from their perspective. Is that feeding the ego? Is that feeding the monster that is Rex Huerman by saying this shit out loud? If it is, shut him the fuck up. Don't let him talk.
Right.
Don't let him get his moment.
You're gonna collapse to the terrorist and give what he wants, or you know, it's like, you know, because that's what I'm saying. Trying to figure out what his motive behind pleading and changing his plea. Is to me, if I'm Ray Tierney, I'm trying to think of like, okay, you know, like why is this guy doing this all of a sudden? You know, we got him dead to rights. I get it from the legal side of it, but you know, I mean, in a case where the death penalty is not on the table, these guys usually roll the dice.
Yeah,
you know, and to me, it's unusual that and again, I'm playing the role of Ray Tierney. Why he'd be doing this, and he'd have to land on the same conclusion that we have.
Sure.
Which is that it is for his ego and that he wants to get out there and spew his horrific tale because, you know, it cements him as the monster that he is. And that's what he's always wanted to be viewed as.
Because
you know,
his only currency he's left with at this point in life is information. Right. And if he holds all the information he has without going to trial, then he still has control of his only currency he has left in life. And he's going to trickle that out as he feels he needs to in order to get what he wants from behind bars to service himself in any way possible, to service that ego, to service that vanity, that sense of grandiosity and look, I'm better than this person. Whatever it is that he wants to service, he is only left with the information currency. And I think that's why he's holding it.
This man obviously operates... on control of information. We know that much. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Go ahead and do that and press subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts right now so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases we follow for you right here. Also, check out Bob's podcast channel, Defense Diaries, on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts.
Love
Defense
it.
Diaries, search it, press subscribe, and check out Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me, available right now wherever you get your books.
And tell a million of your friends.
Yeah, Huerman never read that book.
Should we can send it to him. Send him an autograph copy.
You know, I gotta really do that one of these days. I gotta send it to all the people we cover.
And baby steps. Send him baby steps.
Baby steps. Baby steps to the bookstore.
Baby steps to the commissary. All right. Until next time, for everyone, for Robin, for Bob, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.